Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Episode 2 of the new series. John, what are you doing?
Do you want a bit of toner there, Johnny?
Oh, sorry, I'm just manscaping.
look at the, are there dimples?
Can you get that cellulite off on the...
It looks like Braille.
Is it a Photoshop? Oh.
I would normally.
Oh, but it's up. Well, a big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this episode.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Ball deodorant.
You need the toner on your backside. I'll do it from here.
Just have a smell of these.
Sand dunes.
Job done.
No, massive thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this episode. If you're not already aware of Manscaped, keep the old tackle in order, don't they? The crown jewels. That's nice and sprightly. We've all got one, haven't we?
That's the first time I've ever shaved my balls in a pub, I'll be honest with you.
You've left half of them in the razor.
Well, if you don't know, Manscaped have got the Performance Package 4.0 on the market, and it is fabulous. Isn't
it's
it?
A beauty.
Oh,
look at that. So you get your Manscaped 4.0.
That's the trimmer, isn't it? Just glides over, doesn't it? No nicks, no scratches.
That's the secret, no nicks.
Before you know it, you've got hairy slippers on.
You get the Manscaped boxer shorts.
You get a couple of free gifts with the package, don't you, the boxer shorts? And a little bag to carry everything in.
Deodorant. Toner
for the spuds.
So once you for anything you want, Chris.
Yeah.
For anything.
Anything you want.
So you can give it all a nice trim, and then toner up.
A little place to keep her.
A couple
obviously
of door
got the holder, the charger.
They're anti-chafing them boxes as well.
And they're bloody good.
First hand works
wash
a trim.
Bag. I think I've left my nose trimmer at home.
No, it's there. And the nose and hair trimmer. See, it's got all.
Sorry.
It's got all weeds sticking out of it.
Nose and hair trimmer.
Does it work?
Well, can you not tell? Can you not hear it? Cutting away.
Well, that's the Performance Package, and with them sponsoring the show, you get 20% off with the under-the-cosh discount. All you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COSH, and your balls can be slapped up nice like a dolphin's nose.
Oh. Is that a dolphin sound?
What a slogan.
They
your balls will thank you.
They will as well. They will as well. And your missus.
And the wife.
It's waterproof, that as well.
What, the bag or
the
razor?
The trimmer, yeah. So you get it shower, give it a whip. And there's a light on
it. There's a light
well.
On that, but it were a big job. It were a big job, I've run out of battery.
You don't go over an air jogs.
Does it come with a hoover to tie that mess up as well, by any chance?
It wants to.
Just
but
blow
yeah,
it in, blow
all you're
going
to do is get over to www.manscaped.com and use the code COSH. You get 20% off.
Enjoy.
It's a fine bit of kit, isn't it?
Oh. Go on, give it a rev.
Battery's gone. I tell you, I've just
used it all. One go.
I've just been there for 45 minutes.
One strip and he's out of petrol.
I've got saggy plums now at my age.
Get that toner on, though.
Get that toner on.
Thank you.
Jamie Hoyland, chaps, for the second episode.
Episode 2.
It's a bloody good one.
We've gone old school, haven't we?
Yeah. Old school stories
old
as
school
well.
Stories.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy, Jamie. Obviously, we worked with him at Preston, didn't we? With a youth team manager at Preston and... yeah, really, really enjoyed this one.
We recorded ages ago, didn't we, feels like?
I can't remember half of it, to be honest with you, but I remember it.
I can't remember any of it. So I'm sure it's fantastic, Jamie.
Yeah. Thanks as well to Dave at the mill in Stokesley.
Yeah.
He's let us use the venue for Jeff Winter today, so we're going to have a Dave burger, aren't we? Three Dave burgers.
Weeps popped his head in, didn't he? No. You're having a Dave burger.
I certainly am not. Pie, chips and peas.
I thought you were going for a salad. I thought you see a reflection of your arse in that photo.
Oh, right, like that, is it?
like that.
No need. No need.
Absolutely no need. But no, obviously, some of his younger viewers might not have heard of some of the names we was talking about.
Do you know what I like about these type of episodes? It's how hard people used to be.
Yeah.
When men were men.
Yeah. Billy Whitehurst, Vinnie Jones.
But no, the hard men's gone out of the game now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Who's the hard men these days? Just give us two.
Two.
Who would you not like to fight, Chris, in the Premier League?
I don't think there's any. Even the centre halves are not like hard men now, are they?
I don't think your last one's.
The thing is, you are hard as nails as well.
So. Well, that's it. Do you know what I mean? I don't think there's anybody I'd be afraid of taking.
Would you get your jab going?
Yeah. Oh, duck and weave, jab.
I genuinely cannot think of one who I'd class as a hard man now in the Premier League. Suchek at West Ham, only because
Chris
I saw him.
Take him.
Yeah, easy.
Only because I saw him with a cut and carrying on, but that's pretty much the only reason.
Imagine him leading with that head.
Oh, I know about it. I'm thinking that much.
If it's sweating, it just could slide off your chin. Pretty much miss. But no, it's a fantastic episode.
It was good to see him, wasn't it? Because we recorded with Jamie Proctor after doing Jamie, and Jamie was his youth team coach. So it was good for Jamie to speak about.
Yeah, talk about how good he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie's out. He'll be out in a couple of weeks, won't he?
Hey, if you're not already a member of the Patreon, then get on board, because I think we're up to 50 episodes now.
Really?
So for your £2.50, you can get them extra episodes. And do you know what? We've had Manscaped on sponsoring this episode. But if you are out there looking for some big corporations and you want to get involved, give us a shout.
We're looking for a headline sponsor, aren't we, Chris?
Yeah.
Don't forget the quiz either.
Oh, quiz in a couple of weeks. By the way, whoa. I'm telling you now, I am going to be useless. Even more useless than normal.
Why? You've got loads of notes. You've got plenty of time.
It's fucking Cheltenham Friday. It's Gold Cup Day, Chris. So basically, I'm going to be a slurred mess from start.
That's just how we
to finish.
Are you going that day?
No, not going that day.
You don't have to drink. Right.
Well, all right then. Yeah, fucking hell. It's a big day in my local,
do you go then to pub and everything?
Fucking
watch?
Right we do. Bucky's in corner, sandwiches on. It's a big old day.
I can't wait to see him log on.
So I'm going to be fucked. Let you know now. So I can't do any questions because obviously I'm going to...
You can do them now. That's what you can do.
I'm
get them submitted
early.
I'm
going to be busy that day, so I can't put no questions up. So you all have to do the questions between yourselves.
My question
will be who won the Gold Cup today. That'll be it.
I'm actually looking forward to it more now.
Yeah.
I will be fucked, I'll be honest with you.
Evening quizzes.
Shall I even do it from my local? So let's even get set up and get all the lads in background.
I'm looking forward to it. What date is it?
17th of March, 18th of March.
18th of March, live on YouTube. First quiz in a long time. It's a popular demand.
Do you know when we're arranging it? I can't believe, but lad me, why I've not thought, fuck me, that's Cheltenham week.
It's not like you to forget things either, is it?
By 6 o'clock on the 18th, I could have forgot we've got a quiz. So you're on the fucking back stick, lads.
Live show.
Get Jimmy in. Oh,
the live,
show, yes. Yeah, but the Manchester live show, we've got the dates are coming very soon. The negotiations are underway.
There's just a lot of people to...
Well, what is as well now, Wheat is playing now, so we need to tie it in with his playing career.
Yeah, international break.
Yeah, so... Pie, chips and pays, lads.
Yes.
So...
Let's get Jamie in.
Enjoy.
But yeah, just keep an eye out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we'll have...
Oh, we're on TikTok now, I don't know, by the way. We're on TikTok. Nothing about it. All right, it works, but we're on TikTok. So join us on TikTok.
Some of the best videos are on TikTok now, if you fancy joining on. We're moving with the times, aren't we?
None of us know how to work it, by the way.
Nah.
Matty's in control, and even you're struggling, aren't you?
So if it's shy, it's because of Matty.
Should we get Jamie in?
Yeah, yes, let's please. Get him in.
Come on, sir. Jimmy Hyland, how are we doing?
Very well, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for coming on.
Second time, but to be fair, the first time we were all a fucking slurring. Well, we were.
Were you?
We're slurring mess.
Are you bringing us down with you, are you?
You had a drink at all, ain't you? This first
I
live.
I think I'm the only one not drinking that night. I had a trip in the morning. But you made up for me, I think, partly that night.
You were sat to my left, I could see you just like looking at your watch thinking, now it's time to
this
go,
is
lads.
Going on, yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. I just remember him doing a quiz and us two had our head in hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know we'd done a quiz. Did we do a quiz?
I remember that night, Morgs said to me, Morgs turns up like, and he went, bloody hell, he went, I didn't know you were going to be like this. I said, what do you mean? He went, I thought we were just going to sit at a table and question answers. I didn't know I had to tell stories, said Morgs. You'll be fine. And he was like, fucking, I'll have to make someone up on Warnock.
I don't think the point needed to be made up either, did it?
No, well, thanks for joining us. Were you coaching or at the academy at Preston with these two?
I was coaching, yeah, doing academy, yeah.
Did they behave himself?
Always, Chris. We always behaved ourselves, didn't we, Biggin?
Brownie, exemplary.
Wait a minute.
John, even more exemplary. Parky, actually, my last ever signing at Preston were a lad called Josh Brownhill, who's now playing at Burnley. And he'll probably not remember this, but he was 15-year-old, just been released off Manchester United. So we got him in with his dad and everything and said, we'll show you around like Springfield. I can show you around like there's two rooms there, upstairs for physio, downstairs for training. So he went, all right, great stuff, like, and showing him round, and yeah, it's first team, get changed there. Going upstairs, he's on a bed, getting some treatment. So I've walked in, and you're always thinking, this could go one way or the other here. So I said, Josh, this is John Parkin, the beast, you know, scores goals for us. So at this point, Parky, as I've realised, has start bollock naked. So Josh is like, all right, right, right. He went, pleased to meet you. Parky went, as he's playing with his todger. I bet you didn't get this at Man United, lad, with Ruud van Nistelrooy, did you? Anyhow, as it turned out, it must have gone down well because he signed and had a great career. So thank you very much, John, on that one.
I never got a cut for that.
No.
Did the helicopter come out?
I wouldn't say it's an helicopter. It's more of a
drone.
Twizzle.
It's a drone.
Oh, I can't remember that.
I'm sure he's seen a lot worse in his career, Josh, anyhow. But yeah, so that you know, them sort of things, and it was that sort of place, a really good club, really good spirit to it, and all the lads were brilliant.
How long were you there?
I was there 6 years.
All right.
6 years at Preston, coaching, and then came to an end and moved on somewhere else.
Were you involved with the first team?
Only a little bit.
Yeah. So you didn't see it?
I'm trying to think who got, I think Darren Ferguson got sacked, and we took first team. For a couple of matches, I think we had Derby at home and Crystal Palace away. So,
I think I'd left by now. Did you play Brownie?
I think I got a game. I
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Injuries. Just come back. Come back from
injuries. T-Lady were injured. T-Lady injured, and we got Brownie. We said, "Can you do us a job?" You know, she's just lost a yard of pace. We just need you up there to all.
Did you all right? Remember?
Nah.
No.
I remember it. I remember Palace because it was Saturday, Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Palace,
and I think I'd just come back from a knee op.
Yeah.
And Unzi was like, there's nobody else, can you? No, it was one of them. Like,
there weren't nobody else.
I shouldn't have played, really, because my knee was...
A few got injured on Saturday against Derby, and then we went down there and got robbed. Keith Tracy should have got a penalty, and they went down to their end and scored. Yeah.
To be fair, if we had a game on a Monday, you'd done well to get Keith Tracy fucking out to play.
He just stayed all the way out. He didn't come home since Saturday. He just stayed down in London just and then met us at ground.
What a guy.
Oh,
what a guy.
Wow. I remember him coming in one day and he went, look at this. Just look at this. And he got this big envelope and he just poured his passport out and it had all been cut up to bits. I think he'd gone home and his missus weren't happy with him. And he was supposed to be going to Ireland for a few days and she just cut his passport.
Not going now.
Well, no. Our best thing for him not to go, to be fair.
So I'd have been straight in car to Liverpool.
Oh,
one of them quick jobs.
I'll show you.
Yeah,
I'll show
fuck
you.
You
know, I'll like when flight. You meet like people who you think, like you've played a lot in your time and you think, I've played with some characters. And then you meet Keith Tracy.
But the thing is, you were brilliant, weren't he?
Oh, yeah. He had, I suppose you were similar in a way to Keith Gillespie in a lot of ways, how he played, and he got a bit of pace, got movement, but he just couldn't resist pub goody off the field and that's what obviously stopped him having a career he should have done. But he were a brilliant player, when he wanted to do it, he was right up there with players you'd coached and seen, to be fair. But God almighty, he just had a screw loose, didn't he?
You just didn't know what you're going to get
from day to day.
From day to day.
Day to day, yeah. Minute to minute.
Yeah. I think Fergie Half got the best out of him in a way, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was like relentless on his back, trying to get him fit. And Keith just used to throw it back in his face.
Yeah.
He just come in.
Yeah.
And Fergie, he really liked him, but he was one of them that he just got on his case every single day.
Knew he had the talent.
He was doing well on the pitch. And then all of a sudden, he'd just do something stupid. And you think,
Keith.
Come on, Keith.
You know, just turn in for work.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're coming in pissed, at least don't play Saturday and then let's not see it till Thursday.
Come on, Keith. He's still our best player.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing about it.
Did he get away with it?
That's how shit we were.
So it's more about us than him.
Did he get away with it for a bit?
Yeah, he did a little bit.
Straight on him.
Yeah.
See, did he go to Burnley after us?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was obviously doing well enough to get a move.
Yeah, he did. Won it £1 million to Burnley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was Fergie. Fergie was just on his case.
I think he got sent back from Sheffield United. He was playing at one club and he was on loan at Sheffield United and he got sent back for shitting in the dressing room or something like that on the floor.
Well, yeah, that might do it.
Yeah.
No, there's levels, isn't there?
I mean, there is. I mean, there's levels of shitting. I mean, you can shit in a pub car park on your way to training some days.
If you really can't make it, can you?
Yeah, I've known players come from Barnsley and travel over and do that in a car park.
The Phantom Winger.
Phantom Winger. There you go. But I tell you what, they've got a right rose garden there now.
There's a big oak tree now.
It's unbelievable. Oh, that's come on that garden there, Phantom Winger. There should be a blue plaque, John Parkin shit here.
You take a picture of everything, don't you?
If it's impressive,
I've seen that many videos of him doing that. I'm like, you just never get your phone out. You do it and then move on.
Yeah, but swift. You want to get away as quick as you can, don't you?
Well, I'll take a picture first. It's the lads are like this.
In fact, I'm sure you followed me because I think we were playing away and you followed me and coming to look at it, or someone did. Probably Sedge.
Like we were obviously doing youth coaching, but he'd come in and something like, today? Have you had one today, Parker? Not today, I managed to get here. And then day after, have you had? Oh, I've had one today. Pictures in. Like, oh, great stuff, fantastic.
You started at Man City?
I did, yes. Yeah.
Is your dad a pro as well?
My dad were a pro 14 years at Sheffield United. So I was never going to sign for Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Because obviously I were always going to be compared son of Tommy.
Yeah.
Which eventually I was. When I came back, it was always that anyhow. So I went to Man City at 16, which was not the Man City it is now. Definitely not. It was one of them, you'd left home, dropped off in your digs on a Sunday night. My mate, who was still my best mate to this day, Paul Simpson, he was 15. He were dropped off together. And we said to the landlady, how do we get to train tomorrow? Who's giving us a lift in? She went, that is over there, number 42 bus. And it were like Wimslow Road into Main Road, do all jobs, and off you went training. But it were a tough upbringing. It were a tough old upbringing at Man City, I must admit. We had Tony Book as our youth team coach, which was fucking hell. He sounds tough.
He
was
an old.
I mean, he came into the game when he was 31. He used to be a bricklayer. And then he'd signed for Man City from Plymouth. Won league with him, won cup with him, and he was, you know, when they say old school, he was dinosaur school bookie. It was everything had to be like done properly. He used to do all jobs after training. Football were immaterial, really. That's what you're there for. But then cleaning up dressing rooms, he used to come down about 5 o'clock, and if he hadn't, he'd run his finger across all sills and everything, and if they were dust.
Like four in a bed?
No, I'll give you 10, 20, 25. No, you wanted 30, but I'm only giving you 25. And it used to be like that. It used to be, if you're not, another hour. And then if he found any more, he'd be right, get your spikes back on. That were another thing. We used to have trainers, boots, and spikes. Which never made me any fucking quicker, I can tell you that. in your boot thing at Main Road, because that's what you used to do some afternoons. You had to put proper spikes on and running. And he'd say if everything weren't clean after the second time, you were out running. maybe like pitch black, but you'd have to run to make sure everything were right.
We talked about this recently, weren't we? That some academy lads are just there for a bit of cheap labour, keep everything to make it
yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there were probably 12 of us, probably two of us made it, and other 10 were labourers. And yeah. They made the ground look lovely in summer, did all painting and everything. It did. Oh, the Tony Buck bar looked fantastic every summer. But yeah, we used to have to do all that, paint everything. And then if we didn't win on a Saturday, we knew we'd be running on a Monday. Without doubt, you'd be running, and you had to win. And I mean, Bucky, he was like, they were him and a bloke called Glyn Pardo, God rest his soul, who were fantastic, Glyn. They were good cop, bad cop. And Bucky used to join in training, and he was getting on then. And he used to have the scissors tattle. And he'd kill lads. He'd just do them. In fact, I'd left, but Ashley Ward, who went on to be centre forward and everything, he broke his ankle and all sorts. He was just nasty. But I suppose he gave me 17 years playing because he disciplined you and made you realise. John Beresford, who's been on the show, used to drive him absolute crazy. But Bez, like, loved it. He was like a little midfielder who wanted to play and look for Megs and everything. And he'd be, John Beresford, I'll fucking kill you. Bez used to go, fuck, sort of thing. And then Tattle had come in, but Bez were a good player, so he knew it were coming and get out of the way.
Yeah.
But, oh, Bez used to, honestly, I'm surprised he didn't go on about it more when I listened to it, but he used to drive him absolutely crazy. And then, like, I made my debut at 17. Billy McNeil, the manager then. I scored a wonder goal on my debut from a yard out.
It counts same as a 35-yarder, isn't it?
Exactly, and it bounced up, hit me, went in, which were brilliant. And you think this
run
is
off
it?
With your hands in her.
Oh, the lot. Daily Mirror day after Hoyland fling it was or something. Hoyland fling. You could have put a cigarette paper under our far and jumped up in air. But then you think, oh, this is it. Fantastic. I've signed my first pro contract, 75 quid a week. And I've got my dad's old Fiat 128 coming over at Snake Pass all the time. This, I'm going to be playing for Man City. I'm going to have this and everything. Then 20-year-old, two operations later on your knees, you go in with your things and say, I'd like, stop you there, Billy McNeil. I'm releasing you. And I went, what? Sorry. He went, I'm releasing you. I'm signing Mark Lillis. Nigel Jemson, and you're going. And from 4 years of thinking, this is it, it just all suddenly just swept away. All your dreams, aspirations and everything. You're thinking, fucking, what do you do now? I was 20 then, and I was getting married year after, 21. I know a bit, like, but there you go, you see.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and it was just like, what are you going to do?
So was it a case of just going on trial places or had you had something lined up?
Yeah, they were like them exit trials, what they have and all like that, where you turn up and everybody's there who's been released and you think, oh, I hope somebody can see me. And it's fucking hell, have I done all right in them? And there were one or two phone calls and, you know, from big clubs like Aldershot and Chesterfield. And then I got even a bigger club after me then. And I got this phone call. And it was Martin Dobson at Bury. And I'll never forget it. He's rung me and he said, I'd like you to come and sign for Bury. And I went, yeah, brilliant, brilliant, great stuff. He said, I've seen you play at Man City. I think I can develop you. And I think I can get you back where you want to be. So I said, oh, fantastic. He said, can you come over tomorrow and come and meet us at Bury? I went, yeah, of course I can. Of course I can. What time? He went, if you come over about 10 o'clock, you can have a medical and we'll sort your contract out and all like that. So I said, great. So I've put the phone down and we're still in my digs then. And Paul Simpson there and I went, where the fuck's Bury? And I ain't got a clue where it were. I had not got a clue where it were.
If you had to set off now.
Yeah, I'm thinking, bleeding hell, is it down there? Is it up there?
It's head out.
Because I'd always lived in South Manchester, in Didsbury. And I know it sounds posh now, but it weren't. It were in digs on Kingsway. And obviously, I'd played my matches and you'd go and play at Burnley and you'd go and play at these places, but you're on a coach. You'd get it coach, drop off and where you go.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, where did, and it was in North Manchester, weren't it? So I've got up.
It still is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Unfortunately, it isn't at the moment and that's, you know, hopefully they'll get the club back. But I'm thinking, right, better find it. So I've set off in the morning, got there, because obviously there were no sat navs, there were no, they were RAC, AA map, looking at that as I'm driving in me 128, and I've got my choke going in my car to make sure I get there on time. So I found Gig Lane, gone in, and Dobbo, Martin Dobson, says to me, right, what are you looking for? And I said, well, we're on 75 quid a week. He said, right, I'll give you 85 and 95 for 2 years. And I went, right, that'll do me. He said, right, you need to go and have your medical. And I'm thinking, oh, shit. I've had like, I've knackered all my lateral ligament in this one. When I came back from that one, my cartilage just snapped in that one. This is going to be, oh, God, I hope me, I, you know. And now when you think about players, what they have, medicals, it can be 2 days, and blood's taken, all like that. He goes, Dr. Thacker's in there. So I've gone in, and he's gone, oh, yes, yeah. He went, like, big, strong. I went, yeah, great, great. Fucking hell, this is going well. He went, drop your trousers. Fucking hell, I've only just met him.
So, but for 85 and 95, yeah, I'll fucking go with it.
If you can give us an extra fiver, I'm in here.
So where's he from?
Eh?
Where's he from?
It's from... Manchester Road, his surgery. No, Dr. Thacker, I don't know if
he's... Big strong, I don't know if you're a German or a caveman.
Well, I don't know. Big strong. I'm not doing accent. So he says, drop your trousers. So I've dropped my trousers. And he went, oh, yeah. Big strong thighs. You pass. And I went, sorry? He went, you pass your medical. And just by dropping my trousers, looking at my big strong thighs, I'd pass my medical at Bury.
It's a result.
I just wanted to see your cock.
No, I don't know.
You passed it already.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know, Parky, but he just went, yeah, big strong thighs, you pass. And to be fair to him, I played 4 years and never had another injury. But he must have, that is good, isn't it? That's psychic.
Some boy, isn't he?
That's good. Yeah. Kenny Clements once.
He works a little bit when you got your move, boy.
Just the name. Fucking hell, I think so. In fact, it's his son. Dr. Thacker's son's thing now. Yeah.
Chip off the there old block go. He was.
He looked at him and went, big nose. Oh, sorry.
Fucking hell.
And, and that's the reason that there's fucking not in existence now.
Well, there you go.
Bit ass, maybe.
Yeah, that is a bit ass. Yeah. No, they will be. They'll be back. They'll be back at Christmas.
Yeah. Did you fit straight in?
I suppose so, yeah. We had a mix of players, to be honest. We had a lot of young players and a lot of lads who had played actually at Burnley and places like that, who Martin had known and Frank Casper, who was his assistant, had known from Bury. So they brought them in. So it was quite easy to get in. I went there, to be honest, as a centre forward. So... Once they realised...
Another one. Yeah. They all start up there, Chris, and they just can't, yeah, can't sustain
England youth cap centre forward. I don't know about that. Oh, no, I've got to tell you how I got my England youth cap. So, talking about medicals and medical people. When I were at Man City, I got selected like to go down and represent England under 18s. You get selected and you have to go down to Lancaster. Well, then you have to go down to Lancaster Gate. So you have to go in, get fitted for your blazer. All that sort of stuff, looking the part, looking $1 million. Then you go down to Bisham Abbey, and we had two games against Kuwait down there. So, like, selected to play first one and do all right. Not bad, I'm thinking that's all right. In squad, anyhow, it was just like, just a build-up to go. We've got a tournament in Denmark. Second game we're playing, and this big Kuwait centre-half runs into me right leg, gives me the worst dead leg I've ever had. So I'm thinking, I've limped off like, and what they've said is, if you're not fit to go, if you're not fit, you can't go. And I'm thinking, England, me one chance of getting a cap, because once they realise how shit I am, I'm never going to get back in squad. So, how the fuck can I do this? What can I do? So the doctor who come round was the club doctor at Arsenal, old guy. Was it Dr. Summit Hill anyhow? So he's come round and I thought, fuck it, I know what I'm doing. So he's coming here, right, I've come to have a look at your dead leg. So I said, yeah, no problem. So I've like shown him my leg and he's like this and he's moving it about and he's like everywhere and he's gone, phew, that's healed really well, hasn't it? I went, yeah, it feels unbelievable. He said, fantastic, you're fit to travel. So he's walked out. And I can't remember him rooming with, but I went, thank fuck for that, it's my other leg. And I showed him my left leg.
You crafty bastard.
And he was like, that's absolutely absolutely killing me. I'm like, fucking hell, how am I going to get this? But I'm thinking, at least I've got 3 days now before we start with tournaments and everything. Brad showed him me other leg and he's gone, oh, yeah, that's really good. So I blagged one medical at Bury with me big strong thighs, and I've blagged me other one with England with other leg.
Did you get your cap then?
I got my cap, Brownie.
Yeah, did it heal all right? Did it heal all right? Like for the game?
Oh, yeah, we're perfect. Yeah, yeah. Never got another cap after that. So it had to be that good.
They were running around like fucking Flick. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I didn't lose any pace with that anyhow, so I'm all right. Yeah.
It's Sammy McElroy at Bury.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, when Sammy McElroy signed, like, obviously, it was just after 1986 World Cup. So he played for Northern Ireland and he played at Man U, and he was coming from Stoke. And like, you're thinking, Jesus Christ, like we're Bury. We're like, you know, we're getting odds and sods from everywhere. And Sammy McElroy's coming to play for us. And he walked in and you're thinking, oh God, wow, this legend. Whoa, what should you say? And he's the best bloke you could ever meet in your life. He was unbelievable. It was like he was coming on trial at Bury. He just come in, got his bike, right, lads, where we're training, what we're doing.
Fit in.
Oh, we have to walk to training. Oh, brilliant, great stuff. Here's a bag of balls. Get them on your back, Sammy, take them down. He just fitted in and best drinker ever. Yeah, he used to take us out into Manchester all the time, Sammy. But he was just absolutely top bloke. You know, to learn football off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'd sit there and he'd tell you stories about Georgie Best, because he played with Georgie Best at United and stuff like that. And you're like, you were young kids, mesmerised on bus sort of thing, listening to all these stories and whatever. Well, we had him and we had Wilf McGuinness, who were manager at Man United as well. He were our physio. Worst physio in the world, but could tell you a great story. You'd like, you'd say, Wilf's struggling a bit. He'd go, yeah, yeah, bit of bone soreness. Fucking bone soreness. Bone soreness. Anyhow, get on there. I've got this new one for me after dinner. I need you to go through it. Yeah, but Wilf, I need to be fit for Saturday because I need my £10 appearance money. Don't worry about that. Let me tell you. Anyhow, George Best walks in this. He'd be off like that. He'd be unbelievable. So we're Bury. Really, I suppose that's where I learned my trade as a footballer and being part of the team and everything. Because we had a manager then called Martin Dobson, who I owe everything to Dobbo for being a footballer. He was my mentor, but he was brilliant as well because he never used to travel on coach. So we'd go down London and Dobbo would go on with his lovely wife, Carolyn Carr, and we'd have Frank Casper assistant and Wilf McGuinness on coach. So it'd be like that. As soon as you come out at ground, stop there, off licence, everybody off, captain, on like, all beers on, everything. And Frank would be there, cloth, big cigar on, Wilf, pissed, wanted to fight with everybody. So you'd got this Tasmanian devil, this bald-headed Wilf McGuinness, wanting to scrap. And he always used to pick on Andy Hill, who was captain. And you'd be going down M6, and they'd be scrapping up and down coach. And one day, they scrap once, and they've actually hit, you know, at toilets there. They've hit door there, scrapping. And all the lads are going, what the... Wilf, shut up, I'm winning. Like that. And he'd come off coach, because we were bald-headed. He'd have scratches, he'd have that, rip shirt and everything. Great trip, lads, can't wait for next week. And that's, honestly, every trip we're like that, and you're thinking, is this really professional football? But it was just a magical time. Even though absolute shite money, nothing. What you know, you were never going to be able to retire after you'd played. I didn't have a car, so like my wife worked at airport. She was an air stewardess at the time, so we had one car. So I used to have to get on bus with old school kids and go to training. So fucking hell, I'd be there like, and they're all right, Jim, like that. And back they're all having a faggot back. And like, yeah, great. Yeah, I'm just on my way to training. Brilliant. Yeah, make sure you do your homework and all like that. So my last season there, Dobbo went and Sam Ellis came in as manager, and he wanted me to stay. So he said, "Fucking hell," he went, "What can I make you to stay?" And I said, "Well, like, I said I could do with your car. Leave that with me. I'll get your car sorted. No problem." So I'm thinking, oh, brilliant. A nice little golf or something like that. Looking great. He got me a fucking Citroen AX 1 litre. Which, if you think of a smart car, It's just a bit bigger. Well, I'm a big lad now, and I were big then, and I'm thinking, not only that, they emblazoned it with everything. Jamie Oyland scores for Bury. Bury this, Bury that. Jamie's it. Fucking hell. So you, wherever you went, oh, I'll just put this conspicuous. Fucking, oh my God. Oh, everywhere. My name was everywhere. So when I signed for Sheffield United, I've got this car. So Dave Bassett says, come over and have a talk with us and everything. Because I'd had a chat with Wolves about what I were going to do. And then I decided to come over to Sheffield United. So I've drove over to Bramble Lane thinking, oh, sneaked in, no fucking problem. Went into Harry Bassett and said, yeah, I want this, I want that. The quickest negotiations ever. Because I just spoke to Wolves and they'd said to me, what are you after? And I'd said this, and they'd said, right, we'll give you this, give you that. So I went to Sheffield United and thought, right, I'll fucking ask for this, ask for that, ask for that. Thought, brilliant. Agreed it all. And then I thought, nobody knows about that. My first day in there, they went, oh, yeah, we all knew you were signing. We saw that fucking car going out of Sheffield.
were it your car then? Did you own it?
Oh, no. As soon as it went by court, obviously somebody else who they signed week year after had to get all emblazoned all over it.
Did Pato have the same bottle with his?
We had Mark Patterson on, and he said that he got a car, but he thought it was his.
Oh, no.
And it was only when he left and the writ come for it to be collected, and it weren't his car.
No.
And it was Sam Allis again.
Yeah. Oh, no, mine was... Mine certainly weren't mine, because it was a garage called Walker Fireman went in there. But honestly, you have never seen, for such a little car, as much writing and your name on it as you can imagine. Oh, you know. Come on, love, we're going out tonight. Not in that one, no.
Got to ask you about your debut at Old Trafford.
No. The goal.
Goal.
Yeah, the Old goal.
Trafford. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that would, what was that then? I don't know what they called it then. Littlewood's Cup or something like that. So we beat QPR in round before, who were top at league. So they've come to Gig Lane on a Tuesday night, and there's more lighting in here at Gig Lane under lights at that time. And they've got like Paul Parker, Les Ferdinand, David Seaman in goal. They were top at actual old First Division. They've turned up. They can't see from one end to other. This is working brilliant. And to be fair, we played really well at night. Beat them 1-0. So then you're all in day after waiting for a draw, aren't you? And it comes out, Bury versus Manchester United. And we're all, fucking Man U at Gig Lane. Fucking brilliant. Chairman Terry Robinson. Greengrass comes in and went, oh, yes. He went, we can change that one. We went, No, we want Man United. He went, no, I'm going to have a word with League. We'll get it to Old Trafford. And you could then, because of crowds, if you went to him and pleaded, listen, we'll make more money going to Old Trafford. So he went to League and went, can we play a game?
They're obviously buzzing. They've got an home draw.
Yeah. We're thinking, Man United, floodlights. They'll not be able to see Brian Robson. He'll be thinking, what the fuck? Old dank changing rooms at Gig Lane. No, I'm going to take it there.
And where were Bury at the time?
First Division? Yeah, now the First Division.
League One now.
Yeah, League One now. Right. So we were there, Man U were up there. So he said, we've changed it. He said, but lads, don't worry about it. I'm going to cash in. On night. So we're thinking, oh, this is brilliant. 33,000, 9,000 from Bury. If we weren't that out, we were probably at 500 to 1,000 each, you know, which were going to be big money because it was game on sports night and all like that. So we've all turned up at Old Trafford, just outside the thing, envelope, opened it, fucking 50 quid. There you go, lads, motivation to go and beat Man United.
50 quid.
I'm going to cash it in.
I'm going to get your cash in, all right.
Look what you could have won. It was like Jim Bowen. You know, you just missed that, but look what you could have won. We had it there. 50 quid.
What's the rules in the FA Cup? Did they split it? 50-50 with the gate results?
Man U, I think, just said, listen, it's your own draw. So you, whatever it is, you can have it.
Oh. Yeah, you did cash in, didn't you? You got 50 quid. Oh,
brilliant. Yeah.
You know what? I like a dirty product. I'd have just get it in back. See ya, fuck you.
Oh. Hey, listen, when you were on 95, it were a lot of money. Realize, you know what I mean, Parker? So obviously we've played him and it was a brilliant night. Like, and we've gone 1-0 up. But on the Saturday, we've played Scunthorpe in Cup. And we're like, you know when you're playing and you're thinking you're playing Man United on Wednesday, do not get injured. Do not get injured. Whatever happens, I want to play at Old Trafford. Scunthorpe, which were all great. I'm not really bothered about this one. I just want to play there. 1 minute, gone up. Kevin Taylor, used to play at Sheffield Wednesday midfield, gone up, bump, split my eye straight open. Fuck, like, boof, like that. Blood everywhere. Got some stitches in it. Played on match. Woke up Sunday morning, I couldn't see. Like as if I'd been hit by Tyson Fury. I've got the biggest black eye ever. Can't see, it's closed my eye. Thinking, fucking hell, Wednesday night, I've got to play against Man United. So I've gone in and like they've worked on it. Like Cuts, man, worked on it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Cuts him.
You couldn't even give him the other eye, could you?
Yeah,
he did with your leg.
Fucking hell.
Exactly.
This one. Yeah. How's your eye, Jimmy? Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. I couldn't do the old, no, it's my dead leg. Honestly, my eye's all right. So I've like, fuck it. Anyhow, as it is, they've got it down and I can play. But the problem is, I've got this like birthmark here, which my mum, well, rest her soul, my mum says it was a birthmark, but all young pictures I've got, there's no birthmark there. So my mum and dad just must have battered me when I was a kid. It's come up. So I'm playing at Old Trafford looking like a fucking giant panda. I've got birthmark there. And to make it worse, I only go and score. I've played a 1-2 edge at box. I'm in. And I can remember now Tony Gubber, because we're on Sports Night, going, Hoyland's through. Hoyland must score. Fucking must score. Stretford end clean through 1v1. I'm like, right, what do we do? Eyes just go like that. Boom, it's in. So I've slotted it past Gary Walsh. It's in. We're 1-0 up. And you know, like when you've scored, you two, fucking hell, what do you do? Well, all right. All right, Parker. You know.
Don't rise to his. Don't sing to that level, Jim.
You've got a good record as well, I think. So I've like run and I've jumped up in air and I've done the biggest gob you've ever seen in your life. Spit. As I've like jumped up and it's on telly and everything, I'm thinking, not only do I look an absolute tit with a giant panda, I've just done the biggest spit in the world.
Was it an accidental spit or?
Oh, I think it was just like the moment, like an adrenaline, and I'm just, oh yeah, like, oh, you know, when you think, come back time. So I've done that, like, and you're just thinking, wow, we're 1-0 up Old Trafford. I think there were 25 minutes to go. And they put Brian Robson. Brian Robson that night played sweeper for United. And he changed it. Ron Atkinson, I think, were managing. Was it Ron? No, he put him then in. He put him in midfield. Hockey, you know. It was like playing against a raging bull. You know, like people who just run through you. People say who's one of the hardest players you've ever played against in midfield. Brian Robson just ran and he refereed the game. I'll never forget Roger Dilts for referee. And like they were contentious decisions and all like that. And he's going, you fucking hell, Roger, yeah, you fucker, that's a fucking free kick. You know it is to us. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a definite booking, if not sending off. How we talk to the referee. You're right, Robbo, you're right. You're right. Are you thinking how the fuck that's gonna. So anyhow, as it happened, he's like, He's dragged them up and they beat us 2-1. So we went in after and like celebrated with our 50 quid. And by the time the game was on Sports Night, I were back in my local Sparking Clog watching it on television with fans, which were brilliant, that sort of thing. But the funny thing from that game is we played a midweek game, I think week after. And one of the ladies who worked at a club called Pat, Alex Ferguson, came to the game. And he's walked in before the game. This is what, like, we've been told. And he said to Pat's come up to him and went, oh, Sir Alex. Alex, you weren't Alex then, were you? Are you all right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's gone, did you go to the game? Yeah, oh, loved it. It was brilliant, great night, and blah, blah, blah. He said, but while you're here, you don't know if an umbrella landed in, do you? She asked Alex Ferguson,
I lost an umbrella on that. You don't need an umbrella landed in the case stand.
It's like, fuck you, no, why are you not? I'll just make a phone call now to Lost Property, Old Trafford, and get your thing back for you. But to be fair, Brownie, that goal probably set me off, if you know what I mean, because people then, you know, it were on telly and stuff like that, and scoring against Man United. And it gave me a lot of confidence, and like then I probably kicked on a little bit after that.
So had your contracts run out at Bury?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd offered us, actually. Unbelievable. I don't know where money come from. But I'd actually got then, because I'd been there 4 years, I was on 200 quid a week, and they'd offered us 450 quid a week and a 40 grand signing on fee over 2 years. I remember Sam Ellis like saying to me, this is what we can offer you now. And I was like, that's not bad.
In comparison with rest at squad, that's like...
Yeah, yeah. Well, then they started paying, yeah. They started doing that and it were like, wow, that's unbelievable. But I'd made my mind up to go. I'd wanted to leave summer before. And when I was driving round in me car where everybody could see me, there were these posters on wall, you know, like newspaper things saying Bury midfielder in bid from Ipswich, 250,000. So I thought, well, it's not fucking Andy Feely, it's me.
Andy Feely's shit.
No, Andy Feely was just an hard midfielder who'd kick anything. I thought, no, they're not going to pay that for him. So I thought, that's me, brilliant, like, you know what I mean? So off a trot in my little car, making great stuff. Get a phone call off Sam Ellis. This is just as he's took over. And he rings me up, he said, I want to see you. I said, oh, this is it, brilliant, me move, great stuff. I knew where Ipswich was, by the way, as well, so we're all right. I thought, great stuff, brilliant. So I've gone in, and he said, sit down. I said, all right. He said, John Duncan from Ipswich has been on. I'm thinking, this is it, great. I'll be in my AX driving down to Ipswich in a minute. And he went, he's offered 250,000 fee, and I've told him to fuck off.
Oh.
And I went, yeah. He went, right, see you next week for pre-season. And I went, I'll see you for next week for pre-season. And I thought, how can you do that? Mm. Like, I want to go. And he went, no, you, that's it. See you next week. And that was it. He never mentioned another thing.
We'll bump your contract
sort
you
not
out.
At all.
Nothing
no,
like that.
Not at all. He went, that's it. Get out. I'll see you next week.
So basically, just get that out of here, out your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And crack on.
Did you not speak to your old man and said, this is what's happening? Your old man went, well, you need to fucking...
No. It was just like, right, they've turned it down. Get on with it. I'll get something else.
They must have had a few quid because I don't know what the going rate was then, but 250 grand.
Yeah.
Seems a lot of money.
Hey,
like.
Brownie, I weren't bad, you know. I were a good box-to-box midfield player who could score goals. Cheeky player. What were they doing? No, yeah, I mean, honestly, like then it was like, wow, that's unbelievable that they're going to pay that. And he wanted me to go. And I thought, fantastic. That's it. So it never happened. Nothing. And like, no agents then. There were no agents. And like you say, yeah, I could have said to my dad, but my dad's 89 now, so he would get... It were like, no, you just carry on.
And did you just have that next season left on your contract?
Yeah, yeah.
So that...
If you could have got injured
bold
or...
decision from Barry,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah.
When did they offer you the contract? Was it...
End of season.
Fuck me.
No, there were no like... we'll get you in at Christmas, try and say. It were different then, though, because you were real commodity, like, you were real pieces of meat then. It were like, if we hadn't done well, or we hadn't, see you, get rid of you, we're somewhere else, one sign. Because it weren't a thing then with transfers, as it is now. Players have a massive pull of what they can do. Then it were like, no, we own you, we're going to do what we want with you. Yeah. So you just got on with it. And all the time you're thinking, right, if I do well, something's going to happen.
Mm.
I've got here. Did you write a letter to?
Yeah.
Is this the end of contract?
Yeah. So end of contract. Obviously, you had no agents. You didn't do out like that. So you personally wrote. There were no computers then. You actually wrote and written letters. And I wrote to everybody, all teams above, Man United, Alex Ferguson.
92 handwritten letters.
Not 92. I didn't want to sign for the all the shot, did I? Just them at top.
Fucking Rochdale.
You never know, do you? You're going to cover your back.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I thought, if Ipswich are coming, I don't need to go there. So I did. I wrote letters and sent them off. And
so what do you say in the letter? Do you put your stats? Like you?
No, not really. No, like, not really. It was just like, yeah, you were like, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. You didn't write one to him.
No, I didn't write one to him, I can assure you. No, I didn't want him to fix all for me. And now you just put like, you know, I'm coming out of contract, I'm available, obviously to a tribunal, it'll have to go to, but I think I can do higher, I think I can play at a higher level. Would you be interested? Yeah. Here's me, obviously not a mobile number, here's my home number. So no mobiles are out like that. So
is that a dumb thing back then?
Yeah, yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
You not put the old... Just by the way, Ipswich offered $250 for me last year, yeah. And that prick fucking turned it down.
Well, and honestly, that was the done thing. Players did that.
And at what point in the season were you sending letters out?
When I'd finished,
right? So end of season.
Oh yeah, yeah. I never. Right. I suppose when I played, and as I were a real loyal person, so if I'm playing there, that were it. I put 100% into everything I did for him. So it were no thinking. Right, I'm bugging off soon. I know I'm going to be leaving. Because if it didn't go right, then I'd still be there and I'd give it. So I just felt 4 years, it was time to move on. I'd done my bit there and I knew then I could play higher. And so it was like, right, who's going to get back to me? Yeah. So then the ones what started coming back through your door were the ones what were saying, no, sorry. Like I got one from United saying, you know, yeah, of course we've seen you and blah, blah, blah. But, you know... Nice as pie, no, you shit. We don't want you.
The nicest possible way. Yeah. You're fucking no rubbish. Chances out of here.
Yeah, but then you start getting phone calls, weird phone calls, honestly, from managers. Is that Jamie Oyland? Well, yeah, because it's my fucking home number. We'd like to sign you. Right, who's this then? We'll ring you back later. Honestly, and that was John Rudge at Port Vale. Strangest thing in the world. Like, what's this secret? Is it tapped this one? Someone else is coming through.
You could have had a fucking field day with Tim Swallows back then, couldn't you? You could have had lads driving to fucking South Coast and all.
Couldn't you? Oh, yeah, you could. But then it were like, then I got Wolves who rung up and they said, right, we need to meet you. And all like that. And I'm thinking, Wolves, big club. They were... What are we looking to go like that sort of level and everything? Can you come and meet us? So we're like excited as anything. Yeah, of course I can. I was going away day after on me all, so I drove down to Great Bar Services in my little AX. Everywhere people like that on motorway. AX wank, you know, like bus stop wanker in between us. Like that to me. Oh yeah.
Jamie Ireland in that
Jamie Ireland.
You know?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Brilliant. So anyhow, I met them and this is how naive I were, you know, like you say, you would have kicked off, you'd done that. But it just weren't the thing then. You were just football and I've gone in and he said to me, what you're looking for? And I were on £200 a week. I'd had no signing on fee. I were married and all like that. And he went, right, well, about these figures. And he ripped a bar mat and he put these figures and passed it me. And like, I always say I could never ever play cards or poker because he passed me these things and I picked them up and went, fucking hell, that's brilliant. And he went, oh, so you're quite happy there. Went, well, yeah. And it was 650, 750, 850 and 16 grand signing on fee, which were like massive to me. You think most I'd ever earned were 10 grand, I were 24. And like, you think, wow, that's amazing. So...
Is that life-changing at the time? You were talking about it's like a day job before wages. Yeah, you're not going to retire.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't retire on that, but life-changing in you'd be able to get a bigger car. You'd certainly be able to have a nice holiday end of season and maybe a bit of wallpaper in house, new house or something, in that sort of terms. So I thought, right, I just need to ring Sam Ellis now at Bury and tell him they've made me this offer. So goes up to hotel bar, gets payphone, 10p in it, because like there's no mobile, rings up Sam. They've made me a great offer and blah, blah. All right, so you're happy with that? I said, yeah. He went, well...
Dave Bassett, Sheffield United, wants to speak to you. I said, does he? He went, when does he want to speak? I went, now. I went, right, okay. Bump, phone down. Went straight in. I went, listen, I said...
So did you drive from meeting Wolves to straight to Sheffield?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I just went, listen, I need to go home. I'm going away on my holidays tomorrow. I need to chat with my wife. Thank you very much. Great offer. I'm off now and I'll have a think about it. They went, yeah, brilliant, no problem. So I then drove straight to Sheffield, waiting to see Bassett, Bassett's a right negotiator, like, and all like that. But I'm thinking, right, I've got my figures here. So
got me
he went, what are you after? And he went, so I'm thinking, £750, I'll put £100 on each and a bit on me signing on fee, only a bit. Fucking nightmare, because he's gone out at room and he's gone to Dave Caproot's secretary next door, come back in within 2 minutes and gone, yeah, you can have that. But it was my own town club, somebody supported. I went, yeah, I'm signing. He went, right, brilliant, done. So within, that it took probably 5 minutes for me to sign for Sheffield United in negotiations and everything. That was it. Got home, I got a phone call from Wolves. What are you thinking, what are you thinking? I said, well, actually, I've been for talks with Sheffield United. All right, what have they offered you? And I said, well, right, well, we'll offer you £5,000 more on your signing on. We'll give you this and we'll give you that. I said, listen, and I know this sounds like night of, I went, you can offer me whatever you want. I'm signing for Sheffield United. They went, no, I'll tell you what, then we'll offer you £10,000 more. We'll do this, we'll do that. I said, no, I want to play for Sheffield United because they just got promotion into which is now the Premier League. Yeah. So for me to play for my own town club.
And Wolves would they have been championship,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, no. So that were that then.
So if it would have been anybody else apart from Sheffield United, you think you'd have gone, well, I'll
yeah, definitely.
And then gone back to
yeah,
shit and...
Yeah.
Fuck me, it'd cost you about fucking 12 quid and 10 pence on phone, wouldn't it?
Well, 12 quid and probably about 5 quid in that AX 1 litre in petrol going up and down thing. But then I've gone that night, Sam Ellis and... Greengrass, Terry Robinson said to me, right, we need to meet you for a pint and have a chat about what's going on. So I said, all right. So we met in Bull's Head in Tottington in Bury and they sat me down and went, right, do you want any money for going? And like, they were like giving me full Cray twins. Do you want any money for going? And we're like, fuck it. Do I want any money? I went, no, I don't want a thing. Right, Sam, get him a pint. That's it. And if I'd probably asked for £10,000 or whatever, they would have given me that. And they went, No, I don't want anything for going. Right, you can, brilliant, have a pint. And that were it.
Why would they have to give you money to go?
Because I think it was just like, because I'd cost nothing to them and they were going to, they got 250,000. It went for 250. Right, yeah. If right. I wanted any of that, just to say, yeah, give us that, to haggle for them, to say, well, I'll tell you what, no, ask for this in tribunal so I can have a bit of that. I was naive, Nick Werner. I just went, nah, just buys a pint. And
took a bag of dry roast.
Pint of Carlin will be brilliant. Well, get some port scratchings, you can. Fuck them, you're not having port scratchings.
And can I keep the car?
No, the car went back, parking. The car went back straight away.
How was Bassett then?
Bassett, it was unbelievable, really, because like, I've signed, and I mean, you go, don't you, and you think, wow, I've signed. For a team who's just got promotion and it's all going to be brilliant and all like that. So your first week at Sheffield United every pre-season were Army Camp. So Arbour Field in Reading. So you meet at Bramall Lane at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. So I had the devil on my shoulder. One of them, I'm not good enough to be here, which plagued me probably all my career in a way. So you get the end of that. There's Tony Agana, there's Brian Dean, there's all these, and you're thinking, fucking hell, this is, oh God. Go down to training camp and all like that, and it went bleep test, get off, into dormitories, do that, get your kit on, straight into bleep test. So I'm fit as a fiddle then, believe it or not. I could run. So bleep test, not a problem. Did all that. Come back to the thing. And at Bury, pre-season, obviously, you didn't travel anywhere or all like that, but it was no drinking, look after yourself, pre-season, ready for season to go. So I'm like, got back to my dormitory, and there's Ian Bryson there and Dino and all that, and lads are like having the shower, coming out, getting the clobber out and all like that, and next thing you can hear, Chassis to John, what's happening here? He went, oh, he said... we come here every year. There's a pub over at Fields there. I said, what do you mean there's a pub over at Fields? He said, what does that, what, everybody sneak out. And Harry, no, no. Harry lets them go. As long as they're back for 6 o'clock in the morning to start training and on thing, they can do what they want. And I'm thinking, I've just signed for Sheffield United, like, we're in first division now, we're going to be playing Man U, Arsenal, Tottenham, and lads are out. And lads were just straight over the field. Not all of them, but a few drinking. We're up at 6 o'clock carrying fucking logs round thing, and they were there with like that every day. It were like that.
Did you get sucked into that?
No, not at all, Parker. And I didn't, to be honest, because I think because I'd been brought up Man City, and then Berry was somebody like Martin Dobson who had strict. It was just I just couldn't see that at all. So pre-season was like no chance, But all lads were off drinking and having a laugh, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, we've got season to go here against like all top teams, and all lads are.
Do you think that were part of Dave Bassett's thing for the season? Right, the lads will get out, they'll all fucking get to know each other. And
as long as they're working out the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then you see your next step from that, you came back and then we were off to Sweden on pre-season. So with like typical Harry, like nothing simple. Like you can go from Manchester. We've had to go from Heathrow. So you're on Sharabang down to Heathrow, aren't you, all lads and everything, get to Heathrow, and we've got this new signing. So we've got Billy Whitehurst there. Billy's there and all like that and everything. And new signing's John Pemberton. So Pembo's signed from Crystal Palace. They've just played in cup final against Man U. Turns up at Heathrow. I mean, I'm there in me George, Asda George stuff and me next stuff and all like that, because I've signed from Bury on 200 quid and I'm you know, kitted out and all like this. All the rest of the lads are not in the best. Pembo turns up at Heathrow in the skinniest jeans you've ever seen, Armani, pair of light boots, tweed jacket, lovely Chris shirt and a cravat.
A cravat?
A cravat. Well, you can imagine Billy Whitehurst, can't you? Oh, the fuck have we signed here? And Pembo's walked in. All lads are like, got a plastic bag with the gear, and he's got the biggest case you have ever seen in your life. Like, and you're thinking, oh, fucking hell, what's going to happen here? Gets to this place where we're staying. Who am I rooming with? Pembo. So we've gone up to the room, and like, I'm there in like me, got the smallest case, getting stuff out like that. Pembo's getting stuff out and saying to me, yeah, belt buckle, £200, King's Road, Armani jeans. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't think this is going to go down too well at all here at Sheffield United. But to be fair, he he's a northern lad anyhow. He's from Oldham, Pembo. And he settled in and actually he were all right. But it were all part of Harry's thing about having like a... I mean, I know it sounds daft, like all sorts, like Bassett's all sorts. We were different ones from all over the place. We just got together and it were like, right, how are you going to get on? Where are you going to be? And are you going to help each other and fight for each other? And that's how we got through a lot of stuff, to be fair.
So were this Sweden trip a totally training trip, or did they sneak a night out?
Oh, no,
as well?
Because this place we stayed at, we called it Cranforce. Oh, my God. The train came through... I think 6 o'clock at night, and that was the only thing what passed through it all day. There was nothing. You know, a ghost town. It was ghost town. Lads were going stir crazy staying in this place. No, you couldn't get a drink. It was just a nightmare. So I think a few lads had a word with Harry and said, if this ever happens again, we're going to kill you. I swear to God. Of course, next year, we went to a place called Falkenberg, and it was like Blackpool on speed. I swear to God, we stayed at this hotel and it was a beautiful hotel, nightclub underneath, and we just signed Vinnie Jones. Oh my God. And then on the second year's trip, so it was brilliant. We had a great trip, and I mean, football were immaterial really. We went over to Finland to play a game, and they go over, lads had said they'd done it before, I must have missed it, and it's called, they go over on this love, what they call love boat, you know, because of the thing, 3 hours on this boat in afternoon. Well, it was like one of them cruises, weren't it? Where they,
booze
oh,
cruise.
Oh, booze cruise. It was just booze cruise. So we're on this thing, and the thing with Bassett were, because he was so much in with lads. I mean, he were always hammering lads, like in match situations, but he were one of lads off it. And Harry used to get pissed. And when he got pissed, he licked his lips, right? You knew he'd gone like, licked lips. So that was
telltale sign.
Oh, telltale sign. So once you're like a bit like that, and he was sat next to Derek Dooley, used to look after him, who were like our chief exec, got a brilliant bloke, Derek. Absolute fantastic man for the club. And he used to look after Harry, and they got pissed. And once he got pissed, that were it. Lads were like, right, now. And they'd fucking attack him. I swear to God, attack him. Beat him up, rip his shirt, one of his shoes overboard, the lot. And honestly, he were all over the place. And they used to do this regularly on this three hour crossing. So you can imagine, we get over to the other side, bit worse for wear, and they're all waiting for us. The Finnish delegation, like, oh, no, no. Where's your manager? Where's your manager? He's fucking there. Harry's walking off with this like briefcase, ripped shirt, no tie on, one shoe. There he is, Dave Bassett, manager of Sheffield United.
Oh, so he's got best gun of the game.
No, we're not going to a game. We're just travelling over to another country to start training there. Oh, no, we weren't. No, we weren't playing at night.
Oh, right.
Probably day after we were playing. But that's what they used to do. We'd be out in Sheffield and Harry had come out with us. And there used to be a little bar called Metro Underground. And he'd be there talking to somebody at bar or sat on a bar stool. And Big Brown Gale had signed for us there. And Gailey, fuck, he was like, man, mountain. If all happened, Gailey would be into it. And he'd see it. He'd see telltale signs of the old league. And they'd be over. And like, they'd be belting him. Bouncers would come. Lad. No, it's all right. It's manager. All right, no problem. And he'd just belt out, you can't. You can't. But he loved it. Honestly, Harry just absolutely loved it. Go training in the morning and be like, forgot all about that. And then he'd be just back to Harry. But he just used to call it ramble. Come on, let's have a rumble. Lads just used to boom, and Brads would be over top and boom, you'd like smack him and everything. And he'd like, yeah, great. But it just all together. Yeah. Oh
mental. Come on, lads, bondage session.
Mental.
Rumble.
We once sat in when I lived in as I grew up in this pub, we had this band used to come in who used to practice across road, young lads, and then my dad used to give them free beer and put it on a slate and all like that. And one day they come in and said, "Listen, we can pay a slate because we're going to America on Saturday. We've got a contract." And it were Def Leppard, Joe Elliott, and all like that. They used to come in, and he were massive blade, Joe. So obviously when I've re-signed, he was still coming to Bramall Lane and all like that. So one night we said, "Listen, why don't you come out with us? Why don't you come out? All wives are going out and all like that. We're going to a restaurant on London Road and come and have something to eat. It'd be great, like fucking brilliant." He went, "Yeah, brilliant, great stuff." So he's come out with us and all wives are there. And we had a lad called David Barnes, who were a fullback, the most mental lad you've ever met in your life. Bernardo's boy, brought up like that. Very eloquent, but absolutely crackers. So we're out on this night out. All wives are there and everything. Little cosy place sort of thing. And Barnsley went, "Just off to the toilet, lads." And all the lads were going, "Oh, no. Oh, fucking hell. What's going to go?" And next thing, he loved Lord of the Dance was his thing. So he's come out at the toilet.
What, flatly?
Hey,
flatly.
No, Lord of the Dance. So he's come out singing this, bollock naked, with toilet roll hanging from his arse and everything lit. And he danced all over tables, and this was his party piece, Lord of the Dance. Lord of the Dance. Joe Elliott sat there, went, "I'm a fucking rock star." He said, "I've seen everything in my life. I have never seen anything like this tonight with Sheffield United." And it was just, honestly, Barnsley used to, I mean, I'm trying to think who was talking.
So all your wives are there and all, and he's just running about with his
tails on fire. Oh, yeah, yeah. His tail's on fire. The toilet roll's on fire.
What are you with a missus?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just on tables. Just absolutely crackers. Got Simon Tracy drinking half a carafe of wine in one, put it in his mouth. Joe Elliott's just sat there like, "Fucking, what is going on here?"
This is the team I watch.
This is the team I watch. Yeah. Rock stars, like, sort of thing. And that's what they were like. I mean, we'd have nights out in Sheffield when Billy played there and Vinny played there together. I mean, Vinny got a lot of stick about what he were like on field, but off it, he were an hard lad. Really hard lad. And we'd go out in Sheffield and, like, there were a bar called Henry's on Cambridge Street, like, top-class bar, and we'd all walk in, sort of thing. Sheffield Wednesday never went out. They didn't go out in case they bumped into us. Word of a lie. Jemson would not set foot in Sheffield. and honestly, they would not set foot in Sheffield. And so we were in one night, and all these Sheffield Wednesday fans were in, and some Andy lads there, like, and they've like looked over, and eventually Billy's gone, what is it? And they've gone, come on then. And Billy's gone, no, I'll tell you what. He went, your best two and our best two. And they've gone, yeah, all right. And these lads are like, and so they've gone, Billy and Vinny have gone outside, took them round corner, pasted them, and come back in. Just laid them out. Just like, just I'd fight, boom, on like that. Come back in, pipe please, like that. And all these Sheffield Wednesday fans have gone. I mean, you think now, like, with social media, like, and all like that. Because they'd, like, threatened
us. That'd be front page, that, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, threatened us as a group. And Billy's just gone, right, pick your best two. Not a problem. We'll have you.
So they get on them two?
Yeah, they did. They were real mutual respect. Vinny used to, like, run Sheffield United. He'd come in on a Friday and go, you're not playing tomorrow. Oh, fuck it. Honestly, oh, you're in. Oh, I'm a, yeah, I've had a word with Harry, you're playing. So we're going to play that, but fucking no chance. So you put a yellow bib on, you make sure you're at reserves and all like that. He used to like know all like that. But when Billy walked in, Vinny, like, boom, he calmed down and, like, yeah, I know my place.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't want to upset him.
Fuck, but what do you think could have gone off if they'd have had a set two, them two?
Wow. Don't know.
That one of them dead?
Oh, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
It would have only finished if one of them were dead.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because they were... you know, you're going about hard men, Billy Whitehurst. But he was an absolute gent. Lovely bloke. Great mannered and all like that. But once it come to football and once he were on pitch, he'd just kill you. Absolutely kill you. Like, and Vinny weren't like that in a sense. He just got that mean streak, that horrible streak, yeah, where it could all go off and then anything could happen with Vinny. And, like, and it usually did. When he were with us, he was going through that image of, like, being a real hard man and portraying himself. And he brought out a video, didn't he? You'll not remember it, but he brought out a video about 1991, how to do people.
Yeah,
he did. He brought a video, like, stamp down their Achilles or go through them here.
Oh, two guys.
When you're picking them up, like, pick them up with their airs under their arms so that they swing out and they get booked and all this sort of stuff. And FA did him about 50 grand, but he brought a video. But he's the one who got Bees. I don't know if Bees told story about his car he said to Bees, fucking, because Bees wanted a... Paul Beasley wanted a sponsored car at Sheffield United. So Vinny wound him up and said, listen, I'm getting one sorted. Harry's sorting one out. And he went, fucking what? He went, yeah, I'm getting a cortisone injection. And he went, what? Fucking yeah, man, a cortisone injection, beautiful, all like that. So fucking Beasley's rushed down to Harry and gone, fucking what's it? He's getting a cortisone injection.
could you just get Bees with anything?
Oh yeah, Vinny used to wind him up all to have him on all sorts. Yeah, but Bees were brilliant. Bees were like I say, they were just different mixtures and characters, and Bees were just Bees, like, loud and never stopped talking. And
what was the crack with Ruddock? And
well, that was the one where I mean, you think about it now. I've been thinking about some of these stuff, and you watch Premier League games now, and you think, how can that happen? Because this isn't top league. So we're playing Southampton at home, and it's rock hard. It's like this wooden floor pitch and everything. And
Ruddock's absolutely battering Brian Dean all over the place, like bullying him, smashing him and all like that. So I'm sub, usual. So I'm sat there and Harry just looks around and goes, go and get Billy. Hey, what do you mean go and get Billy? What? I want to go on, not Billy. Like. And he went, go and get Billy. So I said, well, where can, he's up in stand, go and get him. So I've walked out at dugout and at Bramall Lane, you know, at Tunley's, players sit up there. So Billy sat there in his leather jacket, as you, pair of jeans, pair of boots, like, and I said, Billy, Harry wants you. He went, what? He went, Harry needs to have a chat with you. And this is like 5 minutes before half time. Premier League game, match is going on. So all fans are looking. So Billy comes down, like, and gets in thing. And he went, right, I need you to have a word with Ruddock at half time. He says he's bullying Brian Dean. And, you know, Dino's not doing all his shit, scared of him. Billy, not like, oh, I can't do that, Harry, you know, it's a Premier League match. Blah, right, leave it with me. Like, something from you. No problem, leave it with me. You'll see me, right? So everybody at dugout's thinking, what's going on here? So Billy then disappears down steps. And you know Bramall Lane, you've played, you go down, don't you? And then home team dressing rooms to your left and straight on to the other one. So they come off at half-time and you all come together and you can hear Ruddock going to Dino, like, oh, fuck it, I've had you in my pocket, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Comes down steps, goes up, and next thing you've just heard this whoosh, and Billy's grabbed him and pinned him up against wall. There he is, Billy in his leather jacket, fucking jeans, Ruddock's in his Southampton kit. Like, what are you doing? You, he says, if you touch Brian Dean again in second half, go anywhere near him and kick him, I'll be waiting for you in this tunnel to fucking do your legs. And Ruddock goes, I'm fucking telling you. And grabbed him and just like dropped him. Fucking like that. And everybody's like, wow, fucking hell. So anyhow, second half goes on. We win 4-0 and Brian Dean scores 2.
He did his job.
Oh, me, man.
But when you think about that now, honestly, you think about that, what were that now, 30 years ago? It is, yeah. It seems like yesterday, like when you were playing at Sheffield United, 30 years ago, that sort of thing were happening.
So did none of like the Southampton lads went out?
What, with Billy Whitehurst?
Well, yeah.
No. He had that reputation, Billy, that once Billy... They were like Billy, Mick Harford types who... Once they got involved in anything, that were it.
Not even involved in the game, either, you know?
No, that's the thing. That's the crazy thing about it. Just go and get Billy.
Get Billy.
We can get Billy. Go and get him.
So I can imagine, you know, when he actually did play, I can imagine he'd won the battle before the game even started.
Yeah. For a reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was scary in training. If he weren't playing on Saturday and like had to, like, the team were playing, Harry tried to like move him out of the way, like, so he didn't, because he'd go and kill other centre forward or other centre half, just so like he could play. But he got milder as he got older. There were stories about him at Oxford where there were a lovely old bloke, his manager called Maurice Evans, who I think dropped him once on a Friday. So he just went around training ground and picked all balls up, put him in his car and drove back to training ground so they couldn't train. So if you're leaving me out, you're not training. Which is brilliant. Well, Billy, Billy, can you leave us one?
Yeah, no, I thought we'd leave you one.
do some shadow play.
So what you like when you went out with these lads then? Were you always like on edge?
No, because they didn't do it. They didn't look out. We didn't go out looking for trouble. It were like, but if there was some going to happen, you know, you got lads there who were, and to be fair, people knew about them, so they didn't. Yeah. No, it were brilliant. We'd be out all the time, to be fair. It were,
but
in
you felt
Sheffield.
Quite secure, really.
Yeah, you did. Because Sheffield, it still is a great night out. And then players also mixed with fans. Like our players bar at Sheffield United were like a nightclub. If you got a ticket for our players bar, it were like, I mean, I used to run players bar. My match day, my build up to a match was this. So on a Friday, like name, pick team. So you play Man United tomorrow, right? You're in team and blah blah blah. Great stuff, right? So I didn't drive home. I drove to Macro on Parkway, and filled up with beer. Walt Coronas and Saul and all like that. And then Saturday morning before game, I'd come an hour early and carry all stuff to the bar and stock all the bar.
Even if you're playing against Man United,
cut all lemon, cut all limes. I swear to God, Parker, honestly.
You're like that fucking off Benny Dorm, what they're calling Matteo.
Fucking dead. Like that. Peggy had come up, who were one of the cleaners, and she'd rump bar. So, like, I'd make sure all till were sorted and all like that. But I'd do bar. So,
why, though?
Because that were my job. I were in charge of bar.
You were given the job.
Yeah, yeah. So, I took it on. I said, my dad's got to, I'll do that, no problem. Yeah. So, I used to, like, do bar. So, I was stocking it on Saturday morning, make sure everything were all right. Also, buy an extra case for away team. So, I put that aside so that they'd have it for coach when they come up. And then, so obviously, like, then you go down for team meeting and you'd, like, Harry would be going on about such and such and Steve Bruce coming up the corners. I'd be thinking, can I hope I've got enough 5p's for you? Fucking hell, have I brought enough beer? Oh, I hope Peggy's all right when I'm fucking done. Yeah, she will be. Worry, sorry. Who am I marking there?
I hope I've got enough 5p's.
Did the other lads have jobs as well?
No, they just drunk it. and then like after, you'd be all in there, and then like just before the going, Steve Bruce would give you a tap on the shoulder and say, have you got a crate for us? And like, boom, there you go. And man, you would take that, and then when you played at their place, they'd give you that. I don't think Steve Bruce used to stop their bar and cut limes and all that. Yeah. But so that's what I used to do.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.